Hello, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Feature. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Today, we'll talk about a very serious matter, sex trafficking. This is part of a six-part series, Sex Trafficking in America and the World. My guest is CEO of Child Impact International, Dr. Tom L. Evans. Welcome back, Dr. Evans.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here with you.
Will you lead us in a word of prayer?
All right, absolutely. Dear Lord, we're looking at a very important subject, and sometimes we're so overwhelmed that we don't know what steps to take to be involved. So, Lord, we just want to pray that you'll touch each of our hearts and show us how you would want us to make a difference for vulnerable children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our subject is a very sensitive subject, and parents should use parental wisdom and those who listen to this particular segment, either in its original broadcast or in its replay at a later date. You may want to review it first before sharing it with your middle-aged children, your teenagers, young ones. But with the topic we're talking about is foster children vulnerabilities, and there may be some triggers. Some of the children that you have in your home may be a foster child, and we want to be very sensitive to that particular issue. One, almost like our textbook or a reference, is a document that Child Impact International published. It's an amazing booklet. Tom, would you mind giving a little brief description of the background of sex trafficking in America, how to identify and prevent exploitation?
Sure. Well, I'm the father of nine children, and four of those children are adopted. But as a parent, I've recognize more and more, as I think most parents would, that the world that our kids are growing up in is very different than the one we grew up in. You know, I'd never had a cell phone as a teenager. And today, teenagers are spending hours each day, as many as six hours for teenage girls, 17, 16, 17-year-olds, on cell phones. And these devices have become, they've been taken advantage of by individuals who are perpetrators, who are seeking to harm young people and children. And so this booklet really was written to raise awareness for parents. It's also appropriate for teenagers, for caregivers and educators. And so I found that at least half of the content that is shared in this resource, parents aren't aware of at all. You know, for example, we talk about the game Roblox. It's the most popular game in the world, and yet an amazing number of listeners where I speak have never even heard of the game, and yet our kids are on it all the time. So I wanted to really raise awareness of what the dangers are in America, which would be very different than a third world context.
Now, we're going to be referencing, if you had the booklet, it's a 32-page booklet. It's online. It's on your website, and that's childimpact.org/booklet. And you can look at it, but having it in your hand, I would encourage our listeners that if you care about this particular subject, you may actually want to have it accessible at your home, maybe even on a coffee table that leads to conversations that when guests come into your home. On page 24, the header here is foster care, colon, a hidden pipeline to trafficking. That just blew me away, Dr. Evans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I think one of the questions I get asked the most is, you know, what can we do to make a difference here in the United States? And I think the same question would be true in Canada. I've spoken there as well. And, you know, one topic and one area that makes a difference is, as we talked about previously, is saying no to pornography, because that's a financial base that supports trafficking. But a second area is to somehow get involved in foster care. And, you know, you can foster a child, or you can help with respite care. And that's really providing support and help and giving these families a chance to rest a little bit that are so invested in the needs of a foster care child. So this is one of the tangible ways we can make the biggest difference here in America, because so many of the children, in fact, 50 to 60% of trafficking victims in America have been products of the foster care industry.
And the amazing thing, or the thought is that who better to give that guidance who have been informed through the scriptures themselves than Christians and faith-based individuals and organizations. You have a statistic that you kind of walked by. There was 60% of girls who have aged out of foster care end up working in the sex industry. That's a powerful statement. That's a strong statement to make.
And that's research-based. So this has been the biggest gap probably in the United States in terms of human trafficking. You know, you can add to that that one in five foster youth become homeless within 24 hours of aging out, and only 3% will earn a college degree by the time they're 26. 25% will be incarcerated within 2 years. And so that's one statistic, the 60% in the sex industry. But it's really just a catastrophe for these kids when they age out. That being said, last year in November, a new law was signed into effect called Fostering the Future. And this is a government program that is going to be focused on helping foster youth that age out with career and educational resources, and increasing the vouchers and the grants to support these children as they, rather than age out, they have a net of support to help them as they transition to adulthood.
Dr. Evans, I think it would be well for you to explain age out. Are they at the end of a conveyor belt and they just drop off into nowhere, or is there something to catch them and take them on to normal adulthood?
Well, if they get adopted, yes. But if a child hits 18 and they're not adopted, even the social worker that has invested so much in these kids awkwardly, strangely, unnaturally ends up not having that relationship with them any longer. So that person that has been the closest to them, that legal support that's there that funds that happening, that's gone. And these social workers, of course, they care, but their loads are heavy as well. And they have to move on to other children and the needs that other children have. And so at 18, these kids to this point really have been left to fend for themselves. However, fortunately, this new law, Fostering the Future, is going to be able to give them some additional support. I know that some countries, they don't age out so quickly. I believe Canada extends that age quite a bit higher than 18. So America is probably one of the most broken foster care systems globally.
Explain these are at-risk youth, unfortunately. Would you talk about the factors that of the foster children, why they are more vulnerable than an intact family, a child growing up in an intact family?
Sure. I think we all are aware that the, you know, that runaways many times are connected to fostering. And part of this is just the, you know, bouncing from home to home in the foster care system. And in fact, those who have had five or more placements through their childhood, 90% of them enter the criminal justice system. And so these youth are extremely at risk, and they're vulnerable to anybody who will really show them attention and show them some kind of care. And of course, those that are involved in human trafficking are experts at grooming. And so they fill that emotional need or that emotional gap that this child is experiencing, and win their trust, and then get them involved in trafficking.
I think about an intact family, even thinking about my own family. We have a relationship with our children. We are not only the children are near 40 or a little bit above, nearly 40, and we're in their lives. These foster children, most likely, as you talk about aging out, and I don't know if we've fully defined the term aging out, but that relationship is basically, it does no longer exist unless there's an emotional bond between the fostering parent, and it continues on unofficially, could I say?
Yeah, well, these children, they end up, they didn't get adopted. So there's 23,000 every year that end up in that category. And so this is where they become the most vulnerable.
The number of 60% of girls who age out of the foster system end up working in the sex industry. 60% in any industry, you know, if talk about the baseball statistics and battering average, if a person is 30%, that's 300 on the battering average there. This is 600. This is, it's over half of the amount. It's just staggering. It's almost a sentence at that 60% rate to undesirable, unhealthy life.
So I have a bit of research I've done on secure childhood factors. And I have four that I've identified here that I've evaluated globally. The first one is having a loving parent or parents. Certainly children who have that are more secure. The next one is proper nutrition. Then safety from abuse. And finally, you know, being in a country where you're free. So those four, if you look at that and you lose any one of those, your life becomes very vulnerable. And I've identified that globally, only 1 in 10 children actually have all four of those simultaneously working in their favor. So for these kids, you know, they don't choose to be born to an abuser or an alcoholic or a drug addict or a parent who abandons them or a mom who dies in childbirth. They didn't make that choice, but they suffer the consequences of that.
Yes. What about the runaway risk? There's a report in 2025 that indicates that children on the run status from foster care are the most vulnerable. Why is this so dangerous? And there's a statistic that in the first 48 hours of a child missing, what is the extra high risk?
Yeah, 1 in 6 are approached by a human trafficker within the first 48 hours. So, you know, they're looking for a place to stay. There's chaos happening in their lives, and they're more susceptible to being deceived.
They may be looking for a meal after 4 to 6 hours of being out on their own.
Yeah.
What about
for sure.
What about the digital danger for foster children and traffickers?
Sure. Well, obviously, being teenagers, many of them, or even children, there's an attachment to devices, social media, gaming. And of course, these are the places where predators are lurking. And so because of the trauma, the pain they're going through, the challenging relationships that they're navigating, anybody who grooms them, who appears to show interest and take a, interest in their lives and what's happening and trying to cheer them up, all these things are grooming them for these individuals to take advantage of them. So they become very vulnerable online, more so than a child from a secure family with loving parents that they communicate well with. Of course, all kids are vulnerable, but these children are especially in that category.
The power of foster parenting. You mentioned the best way to fight human trafficking is simply a stable household, a stable foster parent. How does a secure home as is one of the best preventative medicines for human trafficking?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately to be adopted, right? So that it's a permanent long-term family.
Yes. What about red flags that people, teachers, neighbors, and new foster parents, maybe they've just got these children, there's signs that a child may already be in a trafficking situation?
Yeah, no, I think we need to really make sure that we have open dialogue with our kids. And the same would be true for foster parents. It's hard for these kids to know who they can trust. And these children will often lash out. And really what they're wanting to know is, when I misbehave, will you still love me? Will you still accept me? And that's a really challenging line to walk for foster parents. My wife and I have been involved in respite care. So we had a couple of foster boys that spent a ton of time in our home, particularly over one summer, and probably more time there than with their foster parents, other than sleeping overnight with their foster parents. But these two boys were just absolutely hungry for attention. But sadly, there's so much just really instability with not knowing when a new placement's going to come or when they're going to try them back with their, birth parent or parents, And so these kids really have so many unknowns in their lives. And, so we want to be aware that they're used to being rejected and pushed away and moved. And so attachment for them becomes a very challenging thing. But nevertheless, it's very important to do our best to communicate and make sure we're understanding what they're doing and also making them aware of the dangers that are present.
Dr. Evans, you mentioned respite care, I think, second time here. Could you flesh that out and how this is probably one of the most tangible things that in every intact, emotionally secure adult can do for a child in the foster system?
Sure. So it's interesting. With respite care, I've done a little bit of research on this in going to Canada to speak. And some of the provinces in Canada actually pay individuals to be involved in respite care, which I think is a brilliant idea. And this is something that we could learn from in America. But Really, these families that are fostering, it's a very stressful in many cases because these kids are so high need. And so if there's a family that can come alongside and, you know, provide a meal out for the family or have the children over for an outing. And so we had the two boys that would come, and they'd love to, one boy in particular, he just loved to play football. And I would just stand on our porch and just throw the football. He'd run and catch it and bring it back, and I just kept doing it. As long as I would throw the ball, he would run. And so these kids are hungry for attention, and often the foster families are just burned out and exhausted, and so that gives them some reprieve. And so that's why the name respite comes from. It's a relief from that 24/7 demand that foster care brings. And I think even for parents with biological children, we like it when the grandparents give us a little break every once in a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and along that way, it's not rocket science, this respite care. I have a feeling that it's kind of like the Bible when Christ said, you did it unto the least of these, and those who successfully did it, they said, when did we do this to you? And in this aspect, tossing that football, you say, it's just tossing a football in a few minutes or extended time, but what you do naturally in an intact, healthy family is highly valued by those who have experienced nothing but instability.
Yeah.
Have
for
you
ever, sure, and we enjoyed it very much with these two boys.
Have you ever heard of the survivor-led reform? It's called Survivors Advisory Council.
No, I'm not familiar.
Okay. Well, it's. I assume that it's from just the context that it's those who have gone through a situation who have found stable ground and are giving back information and helping guide policy and direction to help reach out to foster children who are at risk.
Nice. Yeah. I'm looking at the website right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe. Well, this has been a mutual benefit. We all can learn from it, our listeners, and everyone is in a constant. You just doing the research for this, again, the book that we're talking about is Sex Trafficking in America, How to Identify and Prevent Exploitation. I must say that I'm on a committee for the awareness of human trafficking for the last 2 years. We've been exposed to a number of things, some of those that we wish didn't exist. But your booklet in the 32 pages was the most current, fresh resource that I have seen so far in this 2+ years of being focused on this. And it's a wonderful resource. It's cutting edge, and it's done so brilliantly. It's even the cover photo. You probably sent it to me 6 months or a year ago, and every time I look at that cover, it's arresting, and it also. It's a young lady who has a media around her, and she just has this somewhat of a vacant look in her eyes, kind of framed up as an innocent child. It happens to be an AI, so we're not compromising any individual child, but it's just a powerful thing that with different symbols of that our internet and social media is floating around the outside, and each page there's something that you can take away from it. Thank you for your work on this.
Sure. Tom, I want to mention one resource that is super inspiring, and that's a movie called Sound of Hope. And this movie is based on a true story from Possum Trot, Texas. of a church that got serious about making a difference with foster care. And so first the pastor's family and then another family became involved in adoption, and they were just absolutely overwhelmed. They saw the need, but it was much harder than they'd anticipated. But the church rallied around them and began to support respite care kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. And then they began to train more families, and more families became qualified to host foster children and then to adopt these children. At the very end of the movie, the pastor goes to make a phone call to the social worker, and he said, we have two more families ready to foster children. And there was a long pause on the phone. And then she said, there's not a child within 100 miles of your church that needs a home. And that was just such a powerful moment to see how one church can transform an entire community. The end of the movie shows really what all of these children went on to do with their lives. So it's very inspiring, called Sound of Hope. It's really worth watching for those who are considering making a difference in this way.
And just a comment on that, you don't have to solve all the world's problems. That respite care can be once a week for 2 hours, and that can make a world of difference that may keep that foster family together and still in the game so they can provide the care and have the good outcomes that we all desire for every child deserves.
Yes.
Dr. Evans, would you tell us a little bit more about this booklet one last time, and then any way that our listeners can engage in your ministry?
Sure. Again, this booklet is important because I think our children, you know, are very tuned in to social media. They have a whole different context that they're growing up in. Changes are very rapid in the world that we live in today. And so I realize even with this booklet that it's, you know, in a matter of several months or a year, it's going to be some parts of it will be outdated and we'll have to update it. But I do want to be able to provide this resource to keep kids safe. And so we have it free as a digital download at childimpact.org/booklet. Or you can call our office if you'd like print copies. Maybe you want to share them with your family members or work associates. The phone number at our office is 423-910-0667. So those are the ways you can get a hold of this booklet. But we just really want to help families be aware of the issues and help kids stay safe.
Dr. Evans, thank you for this third of a six-part series on human trafficking. The first three are largely focused on domestic issues. The next three are international. But we live in a world that nobody is isolated from human trafficking. For Strong Tower Radio Feature, I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Join us next time. Bye now.